Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We reached out to Dr. Mark Dworkin. He is an infectious disease physician and a professor of epidemiology at the UIC School of Public Health. I've been seeing more and more people with those face masks on, and I think a fair question, especially with this coronavirus, is how effective are they? Should you have one on? When should you have it on? Hey, Doc, this is John Williams. You're on WGN. How are you? Good morning.
Hi, good. How are you?
I'm doing real well, thanks. Lucky me, right? I mean, it's flu season, to say nothing of coronavirus. How would you characterize in Chicago the flu season this year?
Well, we got hit with a relatively early wave of the flu season. A lot of years we talk about January, February being a big time for initially seeing a rise in cases, but this year it seemed to come earlier, especially early January, and it was a strain that we often see at the end of the season peaking, which is B. And this year it was B early, B first, that was the main one, so that was different.
Should I still get a flu shot if I haven't yet?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Everybody should try to protect themselves from the flu, and the flu vaccine is a safe way to do that. I wish it was more effective than it is, but it definitely is helpful. And, you know, from year to year, it changes how effective it is. But, you know, it helps prevent hospitalization, especially in people who have underlying conditions, you know, like lung disease, heart disease, you know, it's elderly.
Before I get to coronavirus, just in general, if somebody in my midst has the flu, maybe they don't know it or I don't know it. If I wear one of those face masks, will that keep me from getting the flu from them?
Well, you know, there's a lot of factors that play into whether or not we get the flu from somebody. And one of the big ones is, you know, the so-called respiratory droplet. So wearing a face mask, if you're in close contact with somebody who has the flu, that is something that would be helpful. If you don't know that they have the flu, obviously, you know, we don't recommend just going around from day to day with a face mask on. But if, like, you're visiting somebody in the hospital and they're known to have the flu, or you know, you live with somebody and they've got a flu-like illness, looks pretty classic to be the flu, you know, then if you have a face mask and you're living with them, there could be some protection there. But hand hygiene is really the biggest one that we talk about, because, you know, flu and other viruses and germs can be in the environment around people who are sick with them. You know, they
right.
sneeze, they cough, and
yeah.
they put the
well,
germs
that's,
out.
Is it that the way most people get it? Is maybe I touch the rail or the thing that you touched, and then I touch my eye or my nose or my mouth. We do that all day long, and that's how we transfer it, as opposed to you breathing on me.
Yeah, you know, I wish we really knew, because we, you know, there are no studies that have shown how you mostly get it. We believe that you mostly get it from touching, and we know you also can get it from respiratory droplets if you're in close contact with somebody, you know, like within 3 feet or so. And sometimes, in some people and in some conditions, the flu virus may even aerosolize, which means, you know, you're in the same room with them, or they were recently in a room and you could theoretically get it. We see this sometimes. People are on a respirator in the hospital, a ventilator.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be extra careful under those situations.
Well, Doctor, I had two other questions, one specifically about coronavirus and one in general. I was at an ER the other day and I didn't have a face mask on. Should I have? And how effective would you say from coronavirus those face masks are? Give me a minute and answer that question for us. If you've got a question for a doctor, 312-981-7200. Let's just take a couple more minutes from a very busy doctor. Mark Dworkin's on a phone line, infectious disease physician and professor of epidemiology at the UIC School of Public Health. We're just talking about face masks. Let's jump into that one, doctor. Would those be helpful or protective against the coronavirus?
Yeah, a face mask ought to provide protection against coronavirus. We suspect that the coronavirus, like other ones that we've seen before and like other diseases like the flu, It's going to provide you with blocking, you know, droplet spread when people cough and sneeze, you know, droplets go out in the atmosphere. They often fall. Most droplets will fall, you know, within 3 feet of somebody. But that mask is definitely going to provide some protection. But that doesn't mean I'm saying that the ordinary person needs to walk around wearing such a mask, because, as you know, we hardly have any cases in the United States right now of the coronavirus.
But I do see people doing that, and I sometimes wonder why. Is it because they don't want to get what I've got, or they don't want to give me what they've got? Why are some people walking around with those?
Well, I'm not sure. Most people, I would guess, who are doing that these days are, you know, heightened concern. They've listened to the media reports, and there's some fear there. In Asia, it's more common to go around with a mask on. If you yourself are ill, like you've got a cold, it's a polite thing to do in Asia to wear the mask under that setting.
I've noticed a lot of Asians or Asian Americans in Chicago in the Midwest that do that, and I wonder sometimes how nice of them to not give me their disease, although I've at times thought, oh, no, wait, they're hyper nervous or sensitive about something. And I'm like, hey, chill, we're going to be okay, you know?
Right. Yeah, and you mentioned, too, that you were in an emergency room.
Yeah.
And they were concerned whether you should have been wearing a mask. Well, you know, it's certainly appropriate for healthcare workers to be wearing a mask. And if you're going to be in close contact with somebody who's sick, if you were going into the emergency room to interview somebody who has a cough, illness, and so on, then it would have made sense for you to have to wear a mask. But if you're walking through an emergency room under ordinary conditions, although it is a higher risk setting, the ordinary person doesn't need to have a mask on.
And if somebody in my family has the flu, you know, and I'm taking care of them, should I wear the mask around my home?
That would make sense, as well as very much heightened attention to touching yourself, touching your mouth, your nose, your eyes. You want to avoid those, and you want to have frequent hand washing, because you want to assume that the environment of somebody who's living with an illness like flu, you know, is contaminated.
What do you make of antibacterial wipes all around the house?
I think the antibacterial wipes is a good thing in general. You know, it provides another measure of trying to protect yourself. I mean, I don't see that need on an ordinary basis, you know, but when you're with somebody who's ill, taking care of somebody who's ill, it especially is helpful.
Well, does that antibacterial stuff take care of the virus that a flu would be from?
Yeah, so that's a good point. Is, you know, we talk about bacteria, we talk about viruses. They're both germs. So one, the virus is smaller than the other, and they have their different stories sometimes with each of these diseases. But these antibacterial wipes, they basically provide moisture and then drying is what happens. And germs in general, they don't like to be dried out. So it is helpful to, you know, wipe away and that moisture drying effect.
Huh. It's funny because at the hospital the other day, those foam antibacterial foam things, dispensers, are everywhere. And on the one hand, I always hear, oh, you know, we've relied so much on antibacterials that we've made ourselves immune from, or we're creating super bacteria, and we shouldn't use those as much. Maybe I'm thinking of antibiotics, but it's funny, though, that wherever you go in the hospital, those things are everywhere.
Yeah, well, you're bringing up a good point. When we say antibacterial, what we really should be saying is like alcohol-based hand sanitizer. That's what we're really talking about here. When you add some sort of like antibiotic type thing into these solutions, that's a whole other story, and then you might cause some sort of emergence of some resistance. But just the general use of alcohol-based hand sanitizer, that creates this drying effect that's helpful.
Patty, you had a question for the doctor. What was it? You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. I just wondered how long germs lasted on elevator buttons or doorknobs, like not just corona. Like if somebody had the flu and they're pressing on these buttons, do they last a long time on the...
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a practical kind of question. I find that I've looked at some old literature, you know, years ago. The sorts of studies I see would get done. We're talking about many decades ago, and so it's hard to really say precisely how long. But what you can say basically is that in a public setting, something like an elevator button, you know, you should assume during, you know, peak flu season and so on, that it can be contaminated. If you wish to protect yourself, you're not going to have access to hand washing soon after, then you're perfectly fine to, you know, touch it with your elbow or whatever, and you don't even have to worry about that sort of thing. But moisture in an environment, humidity, these all play a role in exactly how long any germ's gonna survive. But you know, they certainly can survive longer than minutes on a button, and so it's something to be aware of.
Longer than minutes. Thanks for the call, Patty, but I thought you were going to say not that long. To me, under an hour is not that long. That is, if somebody came along and touched that, within the hour, that whatever it was would have passed or died. Am I right about that?
Again, it's going to depend on environmental conditions. It's going to change whether it can last for hours or it's going to last for minutes. You know, how much touching has gone on? Has there been any hand cream on anybody's hand? You know, that's going to create moisture on that button, and maybe that'll allow for prolonged survival. So, you know, and then when does somebody come along and actually clean these buttons? I don't even know.
That's a good question. Rick says, hey, John, what about wearing a mask on an airplane? That, to me, here again, seems to be hyper proactive, but now I'm starting to think maybe that's not a bad idea.
Well, you know, it's... theoretically, there could be some benefit, especially during peak flu season when, you know, there's a good chance that maybe somebody is traveling who's got a cold or the flu or whatever. You know, I certainly wouldn't object to anybody doing it. Is it needed, you know, broadly? No. That's why there's no recommendation for us all to be doing that when we ride around on planes. And some of these planes have better air filtration than others. But... you know, there is a real risk of getting sick when you fly because you're going to be around a crowded public space. And so if somebody chooses to do that as a personal decision, I don't object to it, but it's not like a broad recommendation.
309 said, John, I'm wearing that mask because I just don't want to breathe cold air. Fair enough. 630 said, I took my son back to Miami of Ohio on Sunday and was surprised and somewhat concerned with the number of students. Appeared to be the Asian students with masks on. It was unsettling. I completely get that. And it seems to me like this is somewhat cultural, Doc, that they're not that sick and we're not going to make them sick. But that seems to be standard procedure for some people.
Yeah. I mean, years ago, I was in Japan in February and was walking around on the streets, and I saw quite a few people who were wearing surgical masks. And I asked about it, and, you know, I was told that they were likely had a cold and they were just, you know, protecting others. It's just what they do. So I wouldn't be concerned about that.
But what I'm hearing you say is, yeah, in an immediate situation, somebody's got a flu in your family or in the ER, sure. But as a general rule of thumb, we don't need to go that far. Elle, if you had a quick question for the doctor, too?
Yeah, what does it mean when a disinfecting wipe box says it kills 99.9% of bacteria?
You're worried about the 0.1% that's out there?
Yeah, why does it say that? Why doesn't it say 100% then?
That's a good question. Well, you know, not every single germ is going to be got in every situation. I think they're also being, you know, thoughtful and careful about the claim that it's not perfect. They probably don't want to get sued because they can't guarantee absolutely under all situations things are going to occur.
Dr. Mark Dworkin's an infectious disease physician, professor of epidemiology, UIC School of Public Health. Nice to talk to you today, doctor. We appreciate your help.
All right. Thanks.